Arise, minions, and welcome to this Unmade Gaming production. Join the crew of the Defiant as they journey through the Third Horizon at the mercy of the Icons, trying to understand just what's happening to the Mystics in this Coriolis campaign, Void. The show you're about to listen to was originally a live-streamed actual play on twitch.tv/unmadegaming.
Arise, minions, and welcome to Unmade Gaming. We are here for Void, and I'm so glad no one heard what just happened. Please don't do it!
Jesus. I think, we'll save that. You sit on that, Paul.
Don't sit on it, Paul.
It's saved.
Save it, because I've got a very...
No,
particular moment.
No,
for it.
This is Void.
Yes, this is
season two of a shit show that I'm not ready for, both mentally and physically. That being said, if you want to support my slow, inevitable demise into insanity, check out our Patreon. That's the best way to support the channel. You can also subscribe here on Twitch. If you want to talk about this show and all the fun things we do here, check out our Discord. Links for all that stuff down below. And in the bottom right-hand corner, you will see the Corruption Bar. This will be the first one of the season, if you guys hit it tonight. The Corruption Bar has two purposes. One is when that bar fills, Dot gets to do what the hell she wants to us, which is terrifying. And two, every single dollar that goes back into that pot goes back to these wonderful, amazing, beautiful, crazy, awesome, inappropriate players here at this table. That being said, Dot, take us into the world of Coriolis.
Cool.
I just want to press the buttons.
Okay.
I hate you so much.
I think, since it is the start of a second
season... Dot, before you recap anything at all...
Every time that the corruption bar
hits... a goal.
Did we?
Can I press the button?
I feel like that means a button press should happen.
Okay, yeah, I feel like that's true. You want to hit that button for us, Paul? Perfect, thank you. The corruption is now out in the universe, publicly. For all of you to hear, we've corrupted your ears.
For everyone wondering at home, that is a very specific noise that gnome makes. Do whatever you want with that information.
Only for Mike, for our Hot Dice Daddy podcast, which you should check out.
Hot Pod Daddies.
Oh my god, that's another show that we should do.
It's a podcast show about podcasts.
I thought you said hot pot.
Like, hot pot daddy. Oh, hot pot daddy.
It's like food.
I'm the hot pod daddy.
Done. We'll do both of those.
I like hot pots. So,
Paul, you and I, we're going to do hot pot.
Yeah.
Hot
we pot just daddies. Talk about like what we put in hot boiling water.
Yes. Oh my God.
That being said, this is the second season. Mike is unprepared for today.
Oh my God. I'm crying.
I think we missed this. We missed this. Because we are having too much fun and we haven't even actually started yet.
It feels like last week was a month ago.
I know. Well, how about this? You know what? I'll make it easy on you today, Mike. Just you. Maybe we'll just have a proper date.
I don't want that.
So it would not be the start of a second season if I didn't do some kind of recap, especially for those of you that hopefully are joining us anew. If you are back for a second season, thank you for being here. Thank you. It was a crazy first season, both for me as a GM and for these four characters who serendipitously found themselves, their paths crossed around a contract. One that said the nearby system of Tauin had gone dark. There was no communication with them. And they were sent out to do a little snooping and see if they could figure out what happened. But they found more than they bargained for, because before they ever made it to Tauin, they spent quite a bit of time in the Hammurabi system. I'm sorry, the Humura system, on the Hammurabi station. And there they got involved in all kinds of things. Drugs, stabbing of doctors, beating your father's mistress. There was some interesting personal relationships that developed. But the most important thing is that they learned that the original freighter and cargo ship that was supposed to jump to Tauin tried and failed. During the jump, there was a massive explosion that should never have happened. And in the wake of that, there were a few things. that arose. Most importantly, our team decided, you know what? They didn't make it through, but we definitely can. So instead of turning around to report what they found to Coriolis, they chose to jump to Talon. Thanks to the help of some major data gen and good piloting, we managed to make it as a crew to what is now a totally dark system. They arrived to find no stars, no human life. Strange creatures were around every turn. Some literally raising the dead. Others tried to eat their ship. But most importantly, something hitched a ride, later to be known as a djinn. And by the skin of their teeth, they managed to jump with new information about a vessel that came through the same portal. It called itself the White Butterfly, or at least Record does. But the White Butterfly is a vessel of the First Horizon. And so these four and a hitchhiker take this information back to Coriolis to be greeted by quite a welcome party, where they are given a big pat on the back, a congratulations for the return of such information, though they chose not to deliver all of it. But as things come and go, so does the truth of situations. And now, our crew has been stuck in Coriolis for about 9 days. 9 days to prep the ship to take on their next mission. A big one, because everything that they went through, from Kua to Hamura to Tawin, was all a test. And they passed. And when you pass a test, it means you get more work. And that's what has happened. And their mission is to send them down planet side. For the first time, this crew is going to land on solid ground, to the planet of Kua. Kua is a well-populated planet, both in flora and fauna, and it is a rather dangerous jungle. There is quite a lot of human activity and people that live here. The very first settlers, before the Zenith ever came through, settled on Kua because it has the most Earth-like atmosphere and presence. There is a medical outpost here that is said to be an old one that's being repurposed, reused, potentially as a place that is somehow involved in the missing mystics from Coriolis. We learned that one of them is potentially Tal's sister. One of them is definitely the priestess that you met at the top of this first season. But the big question is, what exactly is going on? Nobody knows. And Coriolis over the last 9 days has only gotten more volatile. The guards around every corner. The good news is your patron is paying for everything, but it takes time to upgrade a ship. But you do, in fact, successfully get your ship upgrades, which I'll talk about here in a second, and leave from Coriolis to Kua. Now, for those of you that don't know, it's a rather short trip. Coriolis, in fact, orbits the planet Kua, which is named after the star itself. I'll give you guys a quick look at the Kua system. This will be very interesting, I think, for you. I say that, where'd it go? There it is. All right, so this is the Kua star. Excuse me, I'm gonna make this larger. The portals, of course, around the star, as every system. Kua itself is this planet here. There's a large asteroid belt that separates it from the rest of the planets in the system. Most importantly, the planet Zine, where the emissary that went missing along with all these mystics, all these emissaries are from. Kua itself, the planet, looks a little like this. lots of water, and you can see that there is a lot more civilization, like planet-side civilization here, and lots of jungle. This is Coriolis. It orbits this planet, so you don't actually have far to go. Awesome. And as this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah, it is awesome. It's really cool. One of the reasons that this happened is because this was one of the planets where half of the population of the original Zenith ship went to Kua, and the rest of them repurposed the ship to be Coriolis. There's quite a few things here, and we can get into some of the politics of the actual Kua itself later. But the ship does take off. We see it dock away off the private docks in the upper echelon of Coriolis and head out. And as it leaves, there's a strange tension, maybe we'll say, silence aboard the vessel. Good, bad, indifferent. Maybe it's just nerves. But it says something. Things that have happened over the last 9 days. And so we're actually going to kick off this season by taking a step backwards 9 days ago. I swear there would be no flashbacks. This will be the only one this season. Mike, I saw that look on your face, Mike.
who murdered what sibling this time?
Yeah. Who murders what sibling? But not too much of a flashback. More of what happened over 9 days. A lot can happen in 9 days on Coriolis, especially for a group of people, at least two of you, that don't stay here ever that long. But our camera picks up as we watch Tal's parents walk away. Tal and Tamir, Sul and Malik, as well as our newfound doctor, are all aboard the vessel. And it's been an interesting few days. You've gotten your mission. And more importantly, Tal's parents have learned that she might, in fact, be a mystic. And considering the fact that the mysticides are running rampant across Coriolis and is the reason her sister is missing, it was a hard conversation, one Tal didn't even know that she was going to be having. As the camera comes back to the ship, I imagine that we see Tal and Tamir. Are you in the cargo or are you in a private place?
We're
left alone.
So Sul had gone to take his shower and Malik went out after my dad. As soon as that door closes, I turn to Tamir and I say, so you get mad at your brother for, you know, going behind your back to solve your problems for you, and then you immediately go behind my back to solve my problems for me with my mom.
Tal, that is not what was intended to happen. I did not know that I would run into your mother. And as soon as I saw her, I thought she would be able to help. She has access to places I don't. She has knowledge and experience that I don't.
You didn't even bother to talk to me first.
I wanted to. Just everything else kept coming up.
Look, Tamir, I don't... I needed to talk to my mom about that, and I meant to go, you know, after I had time to, like, sit and think about what everything means. But you didn't give me that chance. That's not your business to tell.
I know. You're right. And I am incredibly sorry for taking that moment from you to have with your mother.
Obviously, it was not a good thing to do anyways.
No, I stopped immediately. How she reacted, honestly, I thought that she hates mystics, that she would have turned you in. That's why I tried to get back as soon as I can, but then Sol went and had to go chase his father, and like, I mean, everything just happened so fast, and we didn't have the opportunity to speak. I came back to try and warn you.
Well, we were obviously too late. It's fine.
You
can't change the past. You can only react to what happens. And maybe you should take this as a reason to, you know, take that into consideration with Malik. As much as he annoys the hell out of me,
it is a conversation that I need to have with my brother. Yes.
You hear a voice down the hallway. He goes, did somebody say Malik's back?
No.
He's right outside.
As I'm walking out of the shower, I'm going to shove her face back into the place. Kicks. And then just close the door.
Look at that wingman right there.
And then Saul's going to just be like, and he just turns around and walks away.
Does anybody ever, like, take clothes to the bathroom when they take a shower, or just a towel? Because I'd really...
clothes, just or at least pants.
Okay, good. Not used to this.
That is actually something we should discuss as well. Malik kind of made it seem like Dr. Lamara might also be a mystic. And if that's true, what he did, bringing her here. When I was at the university, there were already 12 missing students.
It's just students.
Just in 2 weeks. Since we've been gone. Who knows who is missing from the cellar, where nobody counts those people. And your sister.
You know, it's entirely possible my sister's hiding out in the cellar from my parents. But if she wasn't lying to my parents about being a mystic or thinking she was a mystic, then maybe.
In this climate, I don't think anybody would lie about that.
She always wanted attention, always wanted to be special, so...
And she can be special, but that doesn't mean that she deserves whatever horror might be happening right now.
I agree. But she's also misguided. Sometimes she would hang out with the wrong crowds. You know? Maybe she told someone that she was a mystic trying to be cool or whatever. Even if she's not.
Yeah, that is a possibility.
Either way.
Can I ask you a question?
Did.
You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. When your eyes rolled back and have they changed? What happened?
When?
When you were in the medbay. It did not happen to Sol. It only happened to you. That is what... It is... I cannot explain what I saw. And usually the unknown is left for the mystics. And Space Dog that we have now adopted.
It's actually a luminary in the doctor's office going, rah! Rah!
Yes. That's canon.
We were supposed to get a space cat. I'm just saying that was supposed to be a
thing. I did want to get a cat.
What was that?
You know, I've... I've had a... There have been a couple times when I seem to kind of blink, and then I'm somewhere else.
Where do you go?
I've been a couple different places. I lower my voice to whisper. I won't right now, but I saw through the missing ambassador's eyes, heard where they were. I saw Sholi, the priestess who gave me, and I pull out of the out of my pocket this. They're on Kua.
Are you certain?
I don't know where exactly, but they were definitely in a jungle. And when I was wandering through the terrible place that they were, no one saw me, but Sholi did.
Perhaps it is because you two are already connected. Or you are in possession of something she gave you.
Perhaps.
Which, and Tamira will go ahead and take out the, what we now know is the stone, I can't remember what it's called. I had it written down. The symmetry stone. And hand it back to Tal. This was part of that. Perhaps it can bring you a better connection to her. So that maybe we could find her more easily. So that you could find her more easily.
Well, I mean, I don't have any kind of... It just happens. One time it happened on the jump. Another time when we were getting scrap for the ship repairs. And then again in the med lab.
I mean, there are ways that we could try to hypothesize and test out some theories. See if we can't get it to activate again. I mean, it...
Yes. I mean, we're going to have at least a week if we need to make upgrades to the ship. Prepare to go to Kua. So we can try.
Okay. As long as you're okay with it, I could probably go spend some time in the library and see, try to find any resources that might even be left.
Maybe not be seen looking up mystic stuff.
That's a little too late. That's what here. I was doing. I needed to know. I needed answers. Not just for you, but for me.
What do you mean?
I can hear things too. That stone, it calls. There's some sort of power to it. And Tamir will kind of like nod over to the box that had the chrysalis pod in it. It's probably just sitting out on a table because
fucking soul just left it there. It's fine, whatever. No, bitch.
That is an artifact. That Nassar? Is that correct? Nassar? That patron Nassar gave to us for this trip. I can feel the power that swells within it. I can hear it call to me.
This has not happened for you, Tao. That's not how your power quite works. Like, you hold the rock, but you don't feel, it just feels like an item. There's no calling the same way.
Yeah, I'm not, it, what do you mean you it calls? I don't understand exactly what.
I don't really know how to explain. At first, it was more painful. It was like a siren. And now it is almost divine in nature.
Well, I guess that's useful if we're supposed to bring artifacts back. It doesn't do that for me, though. I guess I see things, you hear things.
We make quite a team, huh?
It's something.
Look, I'm sorry for not coming to you first. I was startled by your mother and just worried about you and your safety. I didn't know that there would be this whole other mission. But it's honestly probably for the better that we're nowhere near Coriolis right now.
Yeah. My ship is probably the safest place for us, and as much as I hate it, her too.
It is going to be a much better thing to have her on board. You won't have to burn me again, which would be
there's some great clattering from the doctor's office. She drops and breaks a beaker.
I'm not entirely sure that's a good thing. I don't know if I want her working on me if I'm almost dead. Just putting it out there.
You know, let us just not die. How about that? How about that? We can promise each other this.
You know, that's kind of a goal, daily goal for me is not dying, but I come really close to it lately quite often. And I'm kind of terrified of the thought of that woman being between me and death.
I mean, she came back.
What was that, Dot?
Yeah, what?
I was like, she already looked death in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She might have made friends with it, too.
She came back.
That is a benefit to us, then.
Thanks to Malik, not to her own medical degree. Is it hot in here, or is it just me? I'm taking this off.
It's that conversation with Samir. That might be Will Smith.
Oh, God. All right.
I have a... I have to go write the report and make sure that I send it off to your mom. But, if you need me, I'll just be in my room.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a list of things we're gonna need for our journey and see if I can get in touch with some people I know for upgrades. Good luck on your report.
Thanks. Good luck with your upgrades.
Thanks.
So
head to the room. Yeah. He's going to grab the box with the chrysalis pod in it.
Okay. You take it with you? Okay. Over the next few nights, we'll see Tamir write a paper, which we're going to roll for here in a second. You have a report to chug out.
Roll? I was going to genuinely write you a 6-page report.
And hey, if you write me a 6-page report, I won't make you roll.
Well, I can't do that right now.
You should have done it.
You had a whole week on quarantine. Been what a little else busy. Were you doing?
It's less of.
That's Patreon content.
You're going to write the paper.
Yeah.
Regardless, the report. The role is more for. Here's a question. How accurate? Tell me what you put in this paper. Let's start there. And then I'll have you roll.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. This is very science based. Okay. Like the details of like the theory crafting of what happened to the Ghazali, what happened as the just explaining the theory of the two ships jumping at the same time.
Yeah. That something rips through and yep.
Right. That it appears that the First Horizon is probably throwing stones at this door until something gets through.
Okay.
And something got through.
So you do put that in your paper.
Yeah.
That you believe that there's a third doorway, like something's interrupting the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
We had to then re-theory craft with the other portal master. Correct. On how to safely get through.
Correct. So which I assume
you're doing the right thing.
Right.
By sharing that information.
Correct. Yeah, he's such a good boy. He's such a good boy.
He's gonna fuck us all over.
So here's what we're gonna start with. I'm gonna say to some of this, you're just you're definitely going to be doing some more research. You're going to be going back over your stuff, typing out these plans. You probably dropped the algorithm you rewrote in this paper as some appendices somewhere. So the first thing I'm going to do, there's not really a role for this, which is kind of interesting.
You want me to just do science or tech?
I was going to have you do science, and okay. I'll tell you what happens. Because okay. You're going to get some new information, and then we're going to have you roll for... yeah, the final outcome. We have a couple new people in chat. I want to welcome you. If you have never played Coriolis before, this is one of my favorite games. So I'm really glad you're here.
Let's work on some mechanics because I'm going to give you a 13th darkness point.
Yes, 13 darkness points.
I gotta
points.
This is what he does. I can't fail at fucking writing. Goddamn.
13 darkness points. Okay.
Excuse me, everyone. Do you recall when I was giving out all the darkness points and I was getting so much shit, and now everyone else is doing it too?
Yeah, but like
hashtag let my people sweetheart.
So like,
it's, I'm not gonna lie, Mike. You have a lot more just, against you right
just
now.
Just saying, Tamir needs to graduate.
All right.
I am so scared to roll this fucking die.
All right, roll it again.
I'm not looking. Actually, I have to look to click. Okay. Did it go?
No.
Oh, I fucking clicked it.
Did you get the moderator box?
No.
Does it usually one pop up when you roll, or does it roll flat?
Mm-mm. For me, it rolled flat.
I've refreshed.
Oh wow. Okay. It's gonna roll a shit ton of times.
All right, we will take the higher one. Your darkness point.
That was the first one.
Just take the first.
Yep, it was the first one. Okay.
Thanks for 20.
The way this works. There's another one. This is a dice pool.
I'm scared.
For those of you roll. Have never played a dice pool game. Instead of rolling one die and adding a lot of modifiers, what this does is the modifiers, as you usually know it, add more dice in a pool of D6s, and then all the D6s are rolled at the same time. And ones are failures. Sixes are successes, and everything in between is left to the side. So in this case, what Gnome rolled for Tamir included 2 sixes and 2 ones. The good news is that is a 2 limited success in this case. So you were pretty honest in your report, which means that there's very little information for you to have to falsify. You talk about the First Horizon. You go back and you watch footage and you watch footage. And it's maybe the third or fourth day as you have been scouring this, trying to put this paper together, something that maybe it's procrastinated, maybe this is how you work best. But the fact of the matter is you were watching over the footage of the jump, listening back to the footage or the audio that you took from your suit as you made that jump from Hamira to Talon. And it's in the middle of a night. The ship is silent and quiet, and you've had this empty sound of space being folded, basically, in your ear as you played it on loop. And you see something. You think that it was maybe a mistake, a glitch. You rewind, in quotations, and play it again. And you go back and scrub and you play it again. And each time you slow the frame rate down just a little bit more. What is that? What is it? It takes you a few times. And finally, you manage to pause at exactly the right moment in slow motion. Our lovely little droid who took all this footage during that jump did capture something more than just a djinn hitching a ride. The tear in time and space becomes evident to you. A simple streak of something that has been ripped open to some degree. And as you pause, you have to tip your head like a dog trying to hear something as you squint your eyes and you can see it. The First Horizon, their army waiting on the other side. Massive freighters and ships and vessels, ones that do not match that of the Third Horizon. These ships are alien to you to some degree. And they stand in mass fleet, more than even the crevice can show you. All you see is a moment. And it's gone like that, the moment you hit play again. You can scrub backwards and pause it, and that same moment, that tear, that third door, it's there. It was only big enough for one vessel, but more are in waiting.
Can I take that single frame and I'm going to send a copy to Malik?
Cool, cool, cool.
And I'm going to take a big fucking gamble and send a copy. Oh. No. We learned. We listened to Tal, right? We just had a fucking conversation with Tal.
You did. You did.
I hate to hog more airtime, but can I call Tamir or Malik?
Malik? Yeah, this is days later. Maybe we'll find out what Malik is up to. But Malik, wherever it is you are at this point in time, you get a buzz. Are you aboard the ship? It's also like a strange hour of the day, I guess you could say. It's an odd hour of the night.
I feel like Malik is on the ship. There's no real reason to be doing crime, and he doesn't have any work to do anymore, so he spends most of his time probably on the ship at this point. And I don't think he has the concept of weird hours given his previous career.
Probably true.
So it might be a weird hour to receive a message from Tamir, though. And I think he just gets it with, like, I would assume, like, Tamir doesn't know where he is and just sends him, like, a text. And he just gets up and, like, comes over to wherever. Are you in the library or are you on the ship?
Oh, no, he's in his room.
Yeah, he just comes over and knocks on the door.
Come in.
Yeah, what's up, kid?
Oh, I thought you needed to be out. I need you to see this. What they sent you.
I know didn't have a talk before, but, like, Burrs in the. I didn't think we'd have to have a discussion about this.
About what?
What did you want to show me? Wait, what?
I just we caught something. An entire fleet from the First Horizon.
Oh.
Okay. What did you think you needed to come and talk?
Do you know what time it is?
Malik!
No! Do you know what time it is?
No. You ask that question and probably take a look around Tamir's room, and it is just finals.
Yeah, right? All over the place.
This piece of shit all over the place. It is a madman's room.
He looks
right
over
now.
To the control panel and like taps it, and you see that it's like in an like just a super early time in the morning. I thought you had like a. He like motions between the two of you like a question. What did you want to show me?
Wait, what?
Never mind.
The First Horizon is going to continue trying to get through that portal, and we captured it. We captured it on film. We have evidence. Malik, we need to get this to somebody, but I don't know who. I don't know who we can trust. I would have sent it to Tal's mom, but I'm still kind of on the fence, and I've considered sending it to her father, who at least seems to have his heart aligned in the right place. But we could also send it to Nassar. Nadir, what the fuck is his name every time? Our patron. Mm-hmm. Our Daddy Space Bucks.
Daddy Space Bucks. Daddy Burr.
Wow. Daddy Space Bucks. Cool.
Somebody needs this information. There is a war that is going to come through that portal. We don't know when. They've already been successful at least twice.
Shut up. Simmer. What are you writing?
My report.
And you're putting all of that in it?
Well, no, that's not really part. I have to explain what happened. This is incredibly important. This is letting us see how the portals, or at least understand the portals just a little bit more. We thought that they were destroyed. We thought that the connection was severed, but clearly it is not. Because clearly we know nothing about the portals.
I don't want to be a downer here, but you realize that the reason we were picked for this mission is because only a few people know we succeeded. That's why we're not all over the bulletin. I mean, there was that when we got to the docks, but I think it's been... I haven't seen anything.
The bulletin.
No. That's not what I said.
Yes! Tal's friend! What if we send this to her? She'll put it everywhere. Then it doesn't matter who has it in possession.
Come here.
It's not going to get lost. Because somebody...
If you tell the bulletin, you'll cause a panic. You'll cause a full panic if you tell the bulletin. They'll just post it without doing any research.
They don't have to do the research. I will give them a report.
No.
It's all here.
Everyone will know. And then everyone will panic that the First and Second Horizon is coming here to kill us all. And then everyone riots and loots, and then it's Algol all over again.
But Malik, they are. What is the point of having Algol if it's gone anyways? Because the First Horizon comes and just annihilates everybody and everything.
What are all these regular people going to do about it? There's no reason for them to panic.
They could help.
How?
They could prepare.
Like we helped?
They could go find safety somewhere.
Where? Where would they find safety? In the Fourth Horizon?
I think that people should have a choice to decide what they want to do. This crisis is going to come, whether or not we tell people or don't.
Not like this.
But we can give people the opportunity
not to
prepare.
Panic. Not to panic. There's no reason to cause everyone to panic. I'm not saying we shouldn't tell someone, just not the bulletin. I don't know who to trust either. I don't know Tal's parents from a hole in the wall. They seem okay, I guess. I also don't know Nadir. What did you say his name was? I wasn't even listening. He just had a lot of cool stuff in his house. I don't trust that guy as far as I can throw him. And he was heavy set.
Nassar.
Nassar, thank you.
I don't trust that guy as far as I can throw him. And the judge. The judge? Is that his name?
He was a judge. He was a judge. A judge, right?
Judge is definitely his name.
Yeah.
He introduced himself as, I'm Judge Johannesburg. Yeah. Oh, nice to meet you, Judge. How's it going?
We call you? And he was like, Judge.
Yeah, Judge. Yeah,
and that Judge, I don't even know who the hell that guy is.
I don't necessarily trust him either.
But... Right. So, I don't know who has our best interests in mind or everyone's best interests in mind, but I know it's not the Bulletin.
But that's us, though. We have people's best interests in mind.
Right.
We are arming them with knowledge.
Right, I understand. But who are you? And why should anyone believe you, even if you present the information? I think you should sit tight on it for right now. Compile your shit. And we'll find out who to tell.
What if it's too late?
I think it's already too late, and the best we can do is mitigate the circumstance.
Against the fleet? Look at it, Malik!
Yeah. Look at the station.
We don't know what tech they possess.
Look at the station. Pull up your history book. Look up the Portal Wars and how these people ended it. The portal was destroyed, and they haven't needed massive fleets of fighters. The Consortium has enough, but not to fight a war. So even if we tell the right people, it's still a panic. The most we're going to do is mitigate the damage. So we have to find the right person to tell, and causing a panic is not the way to do it. Even if you have a freelance army of all captains that can retrofit guns on their ships, it's not going to be enough.
How do you know that? It's at least a fighting chance.
It's math, man. It's been 100 years. They were essentially warriors to begin with, and if one destroyed the other or they merged together, they're still warriors, and then 100 years of advanced technology and 100 years of shipbuilding where we haven't had shit. We have what people came with, what we scavenged, and what we've built in the last, 50 years? There's no way. There's no way we have enough ships.
I think you need to believe a little more in what people are capable of doing in dire needs.
People are capable of
times.
Panicking and trampling over people and causing riots and breaking shit.
And uniting and joining forces and putting their resources together for the greater good, for the survival of the Third Horizon. We did it before. Why cannot we do that again?
Did we do it before? Or did they cut and run and blow up a portal? Because it sounds a lot like they cut and run and blew up a portal. Only there's nowhere to go.
I'll hold off.
For now. I'm not saying don't send it. We just need to find the right person to send it to. But everyone here, and he kind of like motions upward, they have their own best interests. The judge works for the Consortium. Nassar works for the Consortium. And I don't know who else. We can't... What's the Syndicate? What are they going to do? Can't tell them. Like...
They have men. They have arms. They have resources. As does the Consortium.
They do. But again, everyone has their own interests in mind. So we need to find the right people to tell... Tell more than one person, again, not the Bulletin, and do our best to do what you're trying to say. Unite people.
Fine.
And I think, and he kind of like dips his head back out to make sure like Tal doesn't walk by, or Cuckoo Pants. I think the one thing we might have
you, that they you don't, put your head out?
Yep.
Cuckoo Pants is right there.
Yeah. She is.
I need you to go. Just hang out in the pod room.
But I'll be right there. Are we going to tell everyone?
I'll be there to tuck you in. No.
I'll be there to tuck you in like a, be like 10 minutes.
You're gonna tuck me in tonight?
Yep.
Okay. She turns and leaves. She doesn't give a shit about telling anyone anything if you're gonna tuck her in.
I don't know how this happened to her.
You saved her life.
You pulled her out of a psych ward. That's how this happened.
I think the
one also thing, the corruption bar. Thank you, Chad.
I think the one thing we have that they might not have are mystics. They don't have Zine. They don't have whatever this mystic sickness gift, whatever you want to call it. Sickness. Is. Well, that's what people are calling it, regardless of what.
Yeah, well, they're stupid.
Okay. Okay, now you're on team me. That's what I was saying before. See, panic. Something different's happening, and they're killing people. I think that might be something that we have that they don't. Which is the job we're doing, is to find out what's happening. So sit tight. We'll research who to talk to. We'll track down the mystics, find out what's happening with them. And then, you know, some shadowy government agency is going to weaponize them, because that's how things work.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, let me finish my report, and I won't include this.
Yeah, please don't. As little as you need to make the grade. And I would also, it's not going to help, but it'll give us a head start. If you can, scrub the names. Don't put the Defiant, don't put the crew names. Your name can go on it, obviously, but whatever can give us a head start before people start to find us. The tracking, the ship's transponder is not that hard to find. And if we're going planet side and parking it there, we can easily be tracked.
I'm aware. Thank you.
If you need anything else, kid, you know where to find me.
Yeah, do you stay in Lumara's room now?
Nope, or? She doesn't have a room. She sleeps in the cryo chambers.
Yeah, your room, right?
Nope. Mm. Listen, if you ever need a 2 a.m. talk about, you know, girls or whatever, you know where to find me. But, and he, like, steps out and clicks the...
Such a Malik thing to do.
And the camera cuts back to Tamir, who now has a lot of editing to do. After a conversation with your brother, you go back to the drawing boards. Maybe you keep the image. Maybe you put it away somewhere. But you do manage to finish your paper. The good news is you rolled a 2 with limited success, which means you are able to cover up your tracks, leave the right things out exactly what you want, and report as much truth as you feel like you can. You hit the submit button, but your mind continues to wonder. You're only a couple days in and the ship's not going to be ready for a while. You find your feet carrying you to maybe the cargo bay around the ship. It's late. Maybe you and Tal haven't spoken quite as much in the last few days, needing to let some things simmer, but your eye catches a piece of junk in the corner. It's barely holding on. And after the ship's interior was evacuated into the Tau and Star, thanks to a djinn that took it over, there's a few pieces missing. It was strapped down, but they were clear. It's such clean. And so we see Tamir drag what's left of this speeder, basically a speeder bike. It's a, what is it called? I got my brain just dying. Gravity bike. Yep. This grav bike all the way down the hallway. Using the dock to load it down to the floor below into what is basically an on-site garage and begin tinkering away. Your mind wanders to other things, but your hands work diligently as you begin trying to fix this grav bike up for use. I'm going to have you roll for this technology. To just start, it's going to take you a while to get the scrap bike worked up. This will be an ongoing project. Holy crapolies.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He finishes it one night.
Damn.
He's very stressed, and when he's stressed, he's really good.
And you work. Like I said, your hands work almost without your mind there.
On a bike.
It's not a waste if you get it working. And you put out a lot of effort over the next few days on this bike. Any of you see Samir over the next few days, this is where he's at, slaving away. Before it's over, you do get a message, Tamir. Your grades are in. You passed.
Woo!
But you were denied the opportunity to print your paper in the archives.
Was there a reason listed?
The content is questionable in its factuality. That's all the letter said. And the camera pans out as you begin to tinker away once again. And it cuts to somebody else, to a room on the ship. A room that does not, over the last few days, has had some upgrades, some personal touches. But we see Sewell, who has been given the shopping list of the weapons necessary for this trip. Their wants, you could say. It used to be no problem for Sewell to go shopping with a license to purchase weaponry, but he doesn't have that license anymore, not working for the syndicate. And so, being concerned about their patron, they've chosen to purchase their own weapons outside of his dollar or his burr. So Sewell's been given the list for everyone. You have to go down to the cellar. It is, of course, the only place to meet a contact of this kind that will be selling illegal weaponry on Coriolis, which is volatile and hostile at the moment, and crawling with guards around every corner. It's a big list. You've got the money. That's not the problem. But you got to move it. So tell us, over the next few days, how does Sewell prep for this and approach getting the weapons and moving them back?
So the first thing is he would be observing the full list and kind of quantify the space and how he can carry it. And he kind of realizes, this is hard. And I don't really look like the most presentable individual. So Sewell spends a lot of time looking at himself in the mirror and kind of like really questioning himself and starts to kind of like pull away some of his, I guess, exterior show of like the syndicate's appearance. And he tries to get like mixed match of like different clothes. And he's like putting on like a brown shirt with like a really awkward colored vest and like just like really
uncomfortably. You spend an excessive amount of time in the laboratory, yeah, just like constantly changing and trying to figure out what looks
normal. He's like running in and out of his room back and forth. And then he gets to the point where he's like, you know what? Okay. He kind of gets a light bulb. And he starts making his way to Tamir's room. And then he kind of, real quick before, are the orders placed so I have to go pick it up, or I haven't purchased anything
yet? You have not purchased anything. Okay. You have a contact and a time that you are to meet them. They have been given your list in advance. They've basically gotten the things. You need to make payment exchange and move it.
Got it. Okay. So would this take more than two people?
It's a lot of weapons.
Yeah. Okay. So Sol's going to knock on Tamir's door.
Nobody answers. Tamir's not there. He's definitely still working on that bike.
Okay. How close is Malik's room to Tamir's?
I imagine the rooms are nearby. There's kind of like, they're like across the hallway. They're just doors. Yeah, so you always,
There's that like central like dining room, and then there's like the four corners of the room.
Yeah.
Okay. Sol takes a moment, takes a deep breath, and walks over to Malik's room and knocks on his door.
There's a pause, and then a k-sk, and the door opens. Yep.
Hey, do you like my outfit? And he kind of like awkwardly shows off how he looks very like as if he's dressed in the dark. Would you say this looks more like...
What are we doing here?
Safe? Does this look more like what you would wear like on a day-to-day basis?
What's happening right now?
Does this just answer the damn question? Does this look presentable as a civilian?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I need your help with something.
What's happening?
So, you know where your brother is?
No. We have comms. Just call him.
I don't like using the comms.
Okay.
Can you call your brother?
He hits a button on his, on the, like, the terminal at his, like, in his room, and he says, Tamir,
Ask him where he is. Ask him where he is. I, like, pat him as if you can't hear
as he as you're saying that, you just hear echoing through the ship, ask him where he is, ask him where he is. Tamir, Sewell's in my room asking about his outfit and where you are. Can you...
I'm a little busy right now.
Happen?
From down the hall, you just hear...
Is this a prank?
What? No.
You hear another voice, but did I miss something?
No. No.
Wait, no, tell Tamir to come here. I need help from both of you. But don't tell him what it is.
Tamir, you heard it. My hand's still on the button.
Yeah, I heard he doesn't understand how the comms work yet, no?
I also have no idea what he's talking about. He just asked me about his outfit, and then said he wants my help with something, so...
He just stares at you.
All right, I'll be there in a minute.
Sol gives you kind of like a very half-awkward smile, as if he's trying to smile.
Malik returns a fully awkward smile. He's like, yeah, bud. I don't know.
Can I grab Tal here on the way? Hey, I think you need to come. Sol's acting weird.
Yeah, I'm gonna come so I can watch this.
I just want to. Malik's having a weird time. First, Tamir is like, "Hey, it's 2 a.m. I need your advice." Like, wait, what? And then you come in. Sewell comes in. And is like, "Hey, I got a new outfit. What do you think?" I'm like, "What's happening? Is this because I brought a woman back to the ship? Why am I the source? Am I a guru? What's happening?"
Sewell's just gonna like wait. He's just gonna wait for everyone to kind of approach, but he doesn't know how to wait not awkwardly. So he's just kind of standing in front of Malik's doorway, staring at Malik.
At this point, Lamara has joined you. Near you, Sewell. She's just near. She's just lurking.
I see her.
You guys cannot get rid of her. She's fine. Here now.
That's fine.
She is here. Oh, I will spend all 13 points. You can't.
I take one step to the right or the opposite direction of where she's lurking.
Once you step away from the door, she kind of slides into Malik's room just in the doorway so the door can't close. She's beginning to get smart.
I will come up and lean up against the door right next door. Over the past couple days, Tal has tried to be nice to her. And, you know, just trying. I'm trying.
Straight up, Sol has been a complete dick to her.
I believe that. She kind of waves at you when she sees you, Tal. And she goes, Sol's showing off his clothing.
I'm not talking
to you. Oh, yeah, it's very interesting.
He looks normal.
Sure. Sol kind of like looks at the doc like that is offensive, but it is what I'm going for. So thank you. hello, Tal. I didn't realize you were gonna be here as well.
I wouldn't miss this.
Does this look presentable as a civilian? Like if anyone else? Malik, you lied.
I don't know what's happening here. Are you going on a date? Why are you asking me this?
No, I just.
Are you going on a date?
Wait, yeah. Did you finally ask
my brother? Looks right at you, Malik.
What?
You told me are we going on a date?
Okay, so at this point, I pull Malik out of his room, push her into your room.
Wait.
And I close the door.
Oh. I'll allow that.
Okay. This girl's in your bedroom alone right now.
She sneaks in there all the time. I can't help it.
And watch it
probably
sleep.
True.
Okay, listen. So I, for you, since you guys know, I am no longer a part of my father's employment, which means I've lost some perks. I may have made an order,
for some armaments to protect ourselves. You know, I don't want everyone just running down to the planet with, you know, a wrench. I look at Tamir, a Vulcan pistol, and I look at Tal. And I look
probably
at
literally holding a wrench though.
And I look at Malik and go, like, that computer tablet thing that you seem to like so much. I know, but so I made an order with my own money. So don't worry, Tal. And then I continue talking to the group. So purchase is made. However, I need some help picking it up. It doesn't quite deliver to us.
You have two legs? Go pick it up.
Yeah, about that. It's the two legs won't suffice. I may need six legs. Or four. Or eight.
How many do you need, man?
Ideally, I was just going to ask Tamir, because you kind of have that innocent look. But actually, Malik, if we get into some binds, you might be of help. So, and I look at Tal, and you can come too, if you want.
What is happening right now?
Listen, I will pay you guys something. I will owe you a favor. I just need some assistance. You know, just help me out.
I'm in. I'll take the favor.
I mean, okay. You obviously don't want me to go, so I'll just stay here.
No, Tal.
No, Tal.
You should actually, come. If it might be better if you're there, actually.
You hear on the other side of the door,
I am going to kill her.
Okay.
So, yeah, how about that? You guys in? It'd be super easy. It won't be dangerous. It'll be completely fine.
Is the ship set to record conversations? And he kind of like leans over to Tal.
No.
Damn it. I've never seen him ask for help before, and it's hysterical.
Yeah, again, he gives kind of like an awkward smile.
I'll come help just to see where this goes.
Just a sec. And okay. I will walk back to my room and I will come out with a pretty plain black shirt. It's got some blue decorations around the collar and like around the bottoms of the sleeves. Nothing particularly fancy, but something that doesn't necessarily look street ratty. And it's obviously too large for me. I say this was one of my dad's flight jackets, flight shirts. It might look a little bit better than whatever that is.
Okay. He kind of says very disappointingly, as if you just stole a candy from a kid.
I mean, if you want to, but people are going to look at you funny. That is a very strange color.
No, you're probably right. I'll take the outfit. And he like accepts it. And then he goes and he just like defeatedly walks back into his room to change. And then
I wasn't trying to like offend him. I was just trying to help.
And then he'll walk back out. Jay's like, all right, well, cool. So you guys are all in?
Sure.
Great. Yeah.
Cool.
Off he goes.
hold on, Lumara. I know that
you open the door.
Yeah.
When you do, she's going through his things.
Oh, hey.
She stops and like closes a drawer.
You weren't supposed to be counting the items in that drawer. Come here. I need you to count all of the needles that we have.
She goes, okay, and she kind of walks over and she leans. She goes, I wasn't counting. She's like, I wasn't counting. I was smelling his clothes.
I could tell, but I was trying to make it look not so. Yeah, I was trying to make it look not so weird to Malik.
She takes one of his like scarves and finishes it tucking it like she's clearly taken it.
I kind of like guide her out of the room, and I take her back to the med bay. And
yeah, she's like, I counted the needles yesterday. There were definitely 10. I lined them up 2 and 5, and she kind of just is like talking. Yeah,
I look at Malik.
I don't know.
You don't, you gotta
shut up.
You just okay.
But
no,
Malik, you
no,
you gotta catch.
I'm pretty sure Ima would be very proud of you.
I hate this conversation.
I love this ship.
Malik hits the button on the door again and then like slides his finger down and locks it.
It locks. A towel, you return pretty quickly.
Yeah, I essentially set her up in the med bay doing the most tedious task I can find that will keep her busiest the longest. Tal has been living on this ship her entire life, and she is using every technique her parents used to keep her busy when she was a kid.
Great, and it's working. She begins to clean, and she does. She says, "You know what? You're so right. They're coming tomorrow to install the new. I want to make sure I get it right. You're gonna love this. What is the new thing you're getting?" Getting a lot of new things, but she was, that's right, they're coming in tomorrow to install the trauma lab. I should really clean.
Yes, and make sure you count how many tiles are in the hallway, because last time they added something, they removed 3.
She begins looking around like there might be people in the corner trying to do this thing. And she goes, "Don't worry, Captain Tao. I will make sure that this ship is perfect."
I put my hand on her shoulder. "I knew I could count on you, Lamara."
She says, "Of course you can. Do you think he's going to miss this?" And she like pulls the scarf partially out of her top.
"You know what? I don't even think he noticed."
Oh. And she kind of like, she registers that like maybe he didn't notice, and she's trying to decide if that's a good or a bad thing, and she goes back to kind of cleaning, and the door closes and you rejoin the group. All of you are able to leave pretty quickly. The thing about it is you are a cargo vessel, like you're a science freighter, and you do have a few things on board. I mean, you don't load all of your cargo by hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we take a lift thing?
There's like a grav lift almost. It's like a push cart that you can take. It's quite a ways down. You have to go to the cellar. And if Sewell didn't make that clear, it becomes very clear to all of you as you begin taking the elevators and the trains down. You go farther and farther. And even though he may not have told you exactly where you're meeting someone, it becomes evident very, very quickly that you are headed into the cellar, which right now is what's considered front line of what's happening here on Coriolis.
Sewell's just in front of the group, like twiddling his thumb and whistling as the elevator goes down. He's like,
"Hey, great normal disguise. Keep up the whistling."
"I thought that's what, is that not what people do?"
"When have you ever seen anyone on the ship whistle?"
"I figured you're not really all normal, so..."
"Okay, well, when you're walking around, do you ever, like, notice that somebody nearby is whistling?"
He tries to recall all the times he's actually walked around in public. "No."
"That was rhetorical."
"Yeah."
"Oh."
"No one whistles. Crazy people whistle. Lamara whistles."
"Shit. Okay, I'll try harder."
"Just stand here. Like a human."
You stand there as the sci-fi elevator music plays, and the elevator goes ding not too long after that, opening up what is basically a door to one of the many exits into the cellar. Yeah, it's not as busy as it usually is. Pedestrians have been replaced by security. A lot of it. They wear suits and helmets. They carry guns. The people that are out and about keep their faces down. Conversation is quiet and light. And two guards do notice the four of you step off an elevator with a freight cart. A grav cart.
Where do we have to go to meet my contact?
You've been given... asking us.
No.
There is panic in Mike's face for a brief moment.
So prior to all this, I would assume the soul would have prepared before coming down here. So just, he's going to have a work order from our Patreon signed and sealed.
Cool.
And it's going to basically say for low grade fuel, that's not high quality, but it's kind of like just scum fuel.
Yeah, it's like if somebody were to stop you and say, "What are you doing here with that?" You would have be like, "I'm picking up this thing, very legitimate thing.
Another order, work order, but this one I guess is a little bit less authentic. But cool. It's basically a mission order to go and research plants and water samples from a planet side, from
Okay.
Whatever. So there's reason. Okay. So
that you would be getting some of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So you head out. The location that you've been given is an interesting one. It is not a cantina. It's not a public place. Who spent the most time in the cellar? Probably.
I would say Sol spent a good amount.
Sol, you would know that this location is part of storage. It's like extra storage here. Containers, freight containers, stacked upon freight containers, stacked upon freight containers. Some of them left to rust and die in space. Others of them might be used by people. But you have been given a location inside of this area. A storage container, in fact. And you walk down these kind of labyrinth-style spaces, trying to find the right one. All you have is a container number. And before you know it, you see it. It's at the bottom of a massive stack of them that go high. The container number's on the side. The doors are closed.
So that's I would know that's the container cell that I'm supposed to go to. All right.
That was the information you were given. This container or near this container was what you were told. That you would be meeting the contact.
I would assume with my knowledge would I know if there's any like some sort of knock or some sort of action to indicate that it's me or like.
Yeah, you kind of tap. There's an echoing on the inside, just a very light one. You hear the lock like.
Okay.
It swings open. And standing there, leaning in the doorway, is a tall, beautiful woman.
Damn it. I kind of like sigh a little bit like, hey, how are you?
She goes, well, isn't this a lovely surprise?
Did I last know I was going to meet her or no? Okay, cool.
She goes, now where did you come across enough burr to buy this? And she puts a hand on a rather large stack of crates that will fit on like your cart, but it's like 4, 5, 6 of them, and yeah, they look to be rather heavy. So Sol, for the record, put in everybody's orders for weapons and stuff. Like anything that you could get legally on your own would have been handled done. All the rest of the guns, because none of you have a legal, like the actual paperwork to get these, Sewell is kind of handling this whole order, his and everybody else's. Yeah, and she says, all right, please tell me you're good for the money.
Yes, I am. Why are you doing these grunt transactions?
She says, a grunt transaction. How much? You did the math, didn't you, yeah, Paul?
4K.
How much?
4K.
4K burr. She was 4K burr in a time like this is not chump change. And considering that it's a bit, she kind of looks around volatile right now, I decided to hide out here and a little extra change in my pocket since I can't dance. Work.
I figured. I guess
she kind of like takes that jab to heart. And she says, yes. So I have contacts and more contacts, and so I've been doing some side dealings. She looks actually over at Malik. I'm pretty sure you know about some of those.
I look at Malik for a second.
I have no idea. What are you talking about?
Back at you, and she says, as much as I'd love to stay here chatting, I have 4,000 burr to deliver,
yes,
and time is wasting.
Right, sure. Yeah, okay, here. And then I give my bird chip for transit. Oh, actually, no. I feel like with this kind of transition, I would have had physical. I would have. Is like any equivalent of like 4K as a physical?
Not really anymore. You would have given her a stick and she's going to check it.
Gotcha. Okay.
To make sure it's good, basically. She's running your gift card to make sure there's actually money on it. Yeah. So she kind of like, she puts it in a thing on her wrist and checks it and she pulls it out and she says, thank you. And she kind of tucks it into a pocket and she says, they're yours.
Cool. Dot. Thank you.
Dot, before we take off from here, would Mr. Tuma, Security Officer Tuma, have gotten back to me by now regarding...
That's right. What was his... remind me again exactly what you asked.
I need all the information on your daughter, your missing daughter, basically.
That's right. You wanted the information on the mysticides and... Mm-hmm. Okay.
As well, yes, as anybody he knew of that she hung out with, which is actually something that Tal would have been able to help with.
You would know
had Malik asked.
Yep. So here's what you would know. You would know your sister's favorite cantina is here in the cellar. The place you always found her would be here. So if you wanted to backtrack, I guess Tal would know that just innately. Yep. As for Malik, he has not gotten back to you yet, though you still have about 4 days before you're going to need to leave this place. Gotcha. That being said, you do know security has been amped up a lot. And whatever is going on, or what has recently gone on, specifically here in the cellar, has caused a bit of disruption. So he may be busy. Okay. But he has not forgotten. He has not forgotten you.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. And she says, well.
Well, if our business is done, thank you. And then I start like walking, try to like walk past her to pick up the crates and like kind of tell Tamir, like motion Tamir to bring the cart. Can the cart fit in the little...
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is like, think of this as like a container cart. That, yeah, a big one that would go on like the back of what, like an 18-wheeler or something. Like it is a freighter container, a big one. Empty now, the only thing in it is your stack of boxes.
Yeah, I would just tell motion Tamir to bring it.
Are they like boxes that we can open and look in, or is that going to be like break them open?
No, okay, you can definitely.
Al's immediately going to start looking to make sure that there's actually something that we ordered in the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Which I didn't tell anybody what we're picking up, right?
No, you told everybody. Well, you told everybody you had some things, and you took their orders as well for guns and stuff. So gotcha. You would have a general. Everybody knows you're picking up weapons.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that Sewell had to be the weapons guy in this front because he had that connection. So,
but I want to make sure that there's actually weapons in here, and you didn't give her 4,000 burr for
and just let her walk off.
Just bricks.
So you walk over. There's a small note on the top, like a very tiny one that has 4 digits on it. All of these crates, these being like space crates, they're airtight and sealed, and they have like a code on the top that you have to like open them up. And so you type it in, and the first lid opens, and it is full of an array of things. These are not guns that you ordered, Tal, but there's grenades and long-range rifles and a couple Vulcan pistols. And what else, Paul?
Sewell, did you order this? And I just have him come look.
He would look through and, like, count everything. He has a piece of paper that's, like, very poorly written and, like, count over. It's like, oh, Jojo. Yeah. And is everything in the crate?
Yeah, you, like, open a second one to account for the rest of it. How you see your items, you open the third crate, accounting for any kind of leftover items.
I would pick up one of the rifles and like kind of like second nature. So we'll start not taking it apart by looking within the chambers, making sure they're functional. There's no
looks
or anything.
If you want to do like a proper assessment, like a role assessment, you can. But at first sight, like these all seem to work. You like move mechanisms, you check it, you check down the sights. Everything seems to be in working order.
Cool.
Side note, you realize we're all paranoid because she's giving us the things that we asked for and paid for, and we're still not trusting
her. You still don't trust her. You guys do not.
No.
Did you notice?
We're talking about you, crate? Dot. You.
I mean, I'm just saying, you guys don't like this woman.
Oh, no, yeah, and Sewell hates her, so.
She's not done anything. She's not done anything that you can prove.
She slept with my dad. That's enough.
She did that long before we had this campaign.
She's still doing it.
She definitely tried to roll me on drugs. So
also that.
And she tried to seduce me.
Yeah. She's given us plenty of reasons.
She stole the drugs out of the body and tried to sell them as the drugs I was told to get back.
That's right. And, that's true. She did. She tried to well.
To be fair, no one else. I didn't tell anyone about that, but.
Yeah.
As a distraction.
Yeah.
As I'm checking. The
also
weapons.
The doctor, you're right, Thor.
And I'm just going to be like, huh, cool, these are all great, thank you. Well, good luck during these heavy times. Clear to see you've been hit fairly hard, which is fine. But yeah.
Are you saying this to her?
Yeah. And then I'd be like, thank you.
She kind of laughs and turns around and she's like, I live through hard times. She's like, it's all that I know. She's like, as for the rest of you, you'll survive. Or you won't.
Okay, ominous. And then I close the box and be like, thank you. So I just want to get the fuck out of here. And I started like putting the crates on the lift thing.
So I was just doing it. Why is your mom always here?
She laughs a little bit as she walks off. She does not stop. Her sway gives way, but she does not stop.
Sol's, like, entire face just dies and sinks as he stares deeply into Tamir. And he grips Tamir by, like, the collar and goes, "Don't ever insult my mother like that."
I thought she was your...
And then he's dead quiet. And his demeanor went from very, like, joking, trying to fit in, straight back to that cold, heartless, I could kill someone in a second. And then he's just like, "Let's go." And he starts putting the boxes on the cart.
Tal.
Helping.
I think Malik just, like, puts a hand and, like, squeezes Tamir's shoulder and just sort of shakes his head and takes a step forward and grabs the side of a crate. This is not just let it go. And, like, he starts grabbing.
Not the right crate. Now.
He, like, hands not up. And then he, like, grabs, you know.
Yeah. As we're going in and out, I'm going to keep an eye out for anybody that I recognize in association with my sister. Or, you know, this her.
Area, you're way off kind of a main path at this point. Like, this is, like, an actual storage area to get back to the main area. So you don't see a whole lot other than the, like, faint clicking of her heels as she walks away. The four of you seem to be left a little on your own to, like, load these up. And once they're loaded up, I'm guessing you guys close the the cargo door. Don't leave any kind of trace.
I would close it with a piece of cloth, by the way. And everything that I did to open and close it was all done through gloves.
Yeah, and I was about to say, you probably have gloves on. Yeah. And the trek back begins. Who's pushing this cart? Because, yes, it is a hub cart.
I would probably push it.
Okay. I need that force roll from you.
Okay, listen.
This is just to see how fast you're moving with
this. This is one of the only few traits that Sol can do, so he better fucking do it.
So, muscle. There's a lot.
God, I suck.
These weapons are significantly heavier than planned. And yes, this is a hub cart, but even where it usually is, like, what, like 2 feet off the ground, now it sinks lower. And pushing it is difficult. You're moving it. Just at a very slow pace. And it takes you quite a while. Yeah.
I'll try to help him, seeing him struggle.
I believe you get an extra die if you want to roll one more d6 with the help.
So I...
Just a flat d6. And we can add it to it. And if you get a 6, then you'll get a success.
1d6. I got 2.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, nope. You begin pushing. It is so heavy and it's dragging. This is an old, your parents own this. This thing is hella old. This is a lot of stuff. And you're trying to mitigate what is kind of tight quarters here on Coriolis. And oh, there it goes. So as you kind of move forward, you hit the main thoroughfare again and you begin looking around. You can roll an observation tell if you want to try to pick out people that may have known your sister.
Could I also roll to make sure no one's, like, following us or anything?
Yes, that would also be a
observation
for different reasons. Okay. You don't see anybody. Again, what is usually a very busy area seems to be kind of barren of people, at least in its usual. Sorry, I'm having my roll 20 is having issues, gang. The server's having issues.
I think it's just the server. Yeah.
Great, perfect.
I rolled a crit success.
Though. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And you're making sure you're not being followed?
Yeah, I'm just keeping an eye, like security.
You are
guard,
being followed.
Balls, okay. Can I see from which direction?
You absolutely can. They're not necessarily trying to hide themselves, but what is most interesting to you, even with your critical success, is somebody that's always aware of your surroundings. Your eyes, like, cut, and you see a child that you know. They kind of, every time you think you see them, somebody crosses in front of them, and then they're closer. It's like peeking around a corner at a cat. You don't know how they move that damn fast, but they do.
Who's this child? Because there's
a lot
of
children. This is the child that you picked up in Tawa. This is the Jin.
I, like, for a split second, because I have a terrible experience with the Jin. So anything in that relation is going to freak Sol out. So for a second, I think Sol would let go of the cart.
The cart comes, like, tell you, as it stops, he lets go of it.
I would look back, like, do I see him, or?
When you look back after letting go of the cart, he's not there.
So why'd you stop? That, gosh, I just kept going. You have to warn me.
I'm sorry. I thought.
Well, come on. Let's move this.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Sorry.
Ready? And as the two of you turn to go to push again, the child is right in front of you.
Oh, whoa. Why?
Fuck. And I would immediately drop it again.
It kind of tips its head and smiles at you, waves a towel.
I like don't move. I'm like, why is it waving at us?
Is there something I can do for you?
Why are you talking to it so casually?
You hear in your head only, Tao. Your head only, because the Jin itself does not speak in the form of the child. It simply says, "I would think you had been gone by now."
Like, we're working Malik. On it.
Do you see this?
We have things to do first.
Child.
We're on our way, though.
Tao talks out loud.
What the?
To this child who said nothing back to her. In your head, you hear it say, interesting.
I clean my ears with my finger.
You're like, what is it? I wonder. Do you know what they are doing here?
Not particularly, but if you know, I'd love to know.
What? Who are you talking to?
Shut up, Sol.
Sol, just wait.
The kid kind of hops his butt onto your cart, dangles his feet a little bit.
Do you mind if we keep pushing? I assume you're light.
Please.
Okay.
Adding no weight whatsoever.
You can tell me the story as we walk.
And you push and you begin moving. Guards kind of look at all of you. You might even get stopped once and your paperwork checked.
My paperwork to Tamir.
Oh, no.
Cool.
No, as she's saying, you know what? Why would you?
Somebody does stop you.
I'm not going to at all. This is hysterical.
And one of them under the mask is like, you got paperwork for all of this? Cargo. What's in these boxes? He kind of taps it with the end of his gun.
Whoa, don't. There's fuel in here, man. He suddenly gives a very odd, very poor accent.
He flips through your paperwork and he says,
"We're
I see.
Restocking my ship before we leave.
Could have blown up this whole place, man.
And you're going where?
And I point to Tamir and Tal, like, they're the boss.
To Kua for research. It's all in the documentation.
They kind of flip. They're checking you. They look at each other when you say Kua. Hand your paperwork back. Be on your way. Quickly.
Thank you. And then I kind of push.
As you keep going, the child immediately says to you in your mind's eye, Tao, those are not guards.
And I just give him a questioning look.
Nothing on Coriolis is as it seems. The guards are infiltrated. I have traveled a long way to fulfill a wish that you have helped in.
Are they infiltrated in a good way or a bad way?
I guess that depends on which side you stand.
Okay. From what you know of me and my point of view, what do you think?
I would say that the men who just questioned you are involved in the disappearance of many a mystic aboard Coriolis.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
I watched them remove a woman by force 2 days ago.
Where'd they take her?
I do not know. But I haunted their dreams that night.
Well, I'm proud of you.
The kid smiles. All of you just randomly see this kid kicking his feet on the end. He smiles as Tao says, I'm proud of you.
Hey, this might not be the best time, but we're all in agreement that that's like a evil magic being that possessed the ship, right? And he kind of looks to Tal half sarcastically.
Oh, honestly pretty sure this being right here is less evil than the beings that we just talked to.
Great. If you're going to keep making friends with space demons, maybe lay off me bringing Lamara on the ship. And then he takes a step back and grabs the cart and starts helping to push.
Saul kind of laughs a little. He's like, oh, shit.
Seeing him start to push, I will let go of the cart and just let them.
And you walk now speaking with the child.
Yeah.
And there's a moment as the child can understand and hear everything that you're saying, obviously not a child, and rides pretty much all the way back with you. But as you continue the trek, the djinn doesn't say much more. Kind of finishing, I guess, their thought, he simply says, I have a duty to fulfill. Tao.
Well.
He says, I have been tasked with ending the Mist Signs.
It's quite a goal. I can support this.
He says, it is just a wish. And I am doing my best to mitigate it.
Well, I salute you, and any way I can help, aside from doing what I'm doing already.
He kind of looks at the boxes and says, why do you need so many weapons?
I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what Sewell got all in all. There were a bunch of things in there that I didn't quite recognize myself, but...
You said you're going somewhere?
Yes.
Is she talking about me?
Transporting fuel, are you?
Well, we do need fuel.
I see. And where are you going?
Exactly where we told those two guards we were going.
So you are going to Kua?
Can't really get more precise than that, but if you have any hints, I'd appreciate them.
They shakes his head. No. I've never seen the Green Planet. There are dangerous things on Kua.
Yeah.
The kid kind of pops off the front, takes to his feet again, and doesn't say anything. And he says, this is my stop. I must go deliver more dreams to those who deserve them.
Well, have fun.
He says, no, Tao. I am doing what I can. Your name, it echoed through the mind of the one who wished me here. I do not know why, but Tuma, it rings out.
Who wished you here?
Someone unworthy. But they freed me from my vessel in a ship far, far from here.
Well, I that puzzles me.
Got it. Okay. Sorry. I'm just now reading chat. I apologize. We hear a, you simply hear him say, "Be careful. Nothing is what it seems." And he looks over and sees a woman. She's dressed in dark robes and she's being escorted by two dressed soldiers. There's a moment she stops. The soldiers stop and look. She grabs the hand of the child and walks off. Tears begin rolling down her face. She doesn't cry as much as weep. He looks over his shoulder and smiles at you and simply waves. And you complete your journey back with your weapons. Waiting on you is a fully dressed, out of scrubs, doctor. She goes, "I'm ready for my date, Malik. And we're gonna have to do that next week because Mike's gotta go."
I don't.
The rest of the way back tells very, very forlorn.
There is a weight in the air. Just the presence of an evil demon djinn kind of tends to do that. But a big smile. And she's tried to like dress herself up. And she grabs you by the arm and drags you out as the three of you are left to unload the cargo.
Anyone?
Bye.
Okay.
Have fun. Be home.
And the camera, the camera closes out as the doors close, and you see her all but dragging Malik out for a proper date before they leave what be the last of, you know, what might be the last of civilization for a while.
Oh, man. I hope those two make it.
I'll take a new character sheet, Don. I'm just going to
Sorry.
Retire this one.
I just gave you Lamara's character sheet.
I know.
Oh, are you combining characters?
No, we're not combining anything.
Oh, shit, that's so cute.
This is the worst day
it's
ever.
It's the shirt that it's meant to be.
Guys, weird. I just got, what's that? I just got a
Hashtag let Malik smooch.
I got word from our sponsors coming in that season two of Void is actually canceled, so.
yeah, word from our sponsor says, "I can't handle his crazy girlfriend."
I don't have a crazy girlfriend. I mean, that's amazing.
Void is an Unmade Gaming production and a proud member of the Unmade Gaming Podcast Network. If you'd like to support our endeavors and get some behind-the-scenes looks at some upcoming projects, please join us on Patreon at patreon.com/umgpodnetwork. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Thank you for joining us on this epic space journey, and we'll see you next time on Void.